Well, it isn't just the Greeks who want to see Jesus. The whole world wants to see Jesus. But like many at the time, when Jesus doesn't look, act, or talk the way they want, they keep on looking. Last week, I read a little story about a blind man who set up a table to sell some things in a busy and crowded airport. Someone rushing by bumped into the table and everything fell to the floor as the one rushing to the plane just kept on going. The blind man got down on the floor and began feeling around for his things. And another traveler came upon the scene, looked at his watch, rolled his eyes, knowing that if he stopped, he might miss his flight. But he stopped anyway. And he helped the blind man pick up everything on the floor and arrange it back on top of the table. With that, the traveler rushed off on his way, maybe missing his flight, who knows. But the blind man called out after him, and he said, "Hey, are you Jesus?" And suddenly, I began to get it. In my own reflection on this passage of John's Gospel, I can't get past those opening verses about the Greeks wanting to see Jesus. In terms of the scriptures, that part is a setup for the later verses when Jesus confronts the reality of his own death and cries out to the Father for help. This is the lowest point in the life of Jesus. He's hit bottom, and he knows that everything for him is coming to an end, a bad end. He uses images from the prophet to stir up his hope, but the truth is there isn't any hope. Because hope is finished now. Because it's time to realize what hope had imagined. So here come those Greeks who look for Philip. Why Philip? Because he has a Greek name, and probably then he speaks Greek. For John, writing this gospel, Philip is an apostle. He kind of stands for the church. But he's not a gatekeeper keeping people from or protecting Jesus, but rather he's one who leads people to and introduces them to Jesus. This ought to be an important lesson to us, members of an apostolic church, about what we are and what we must do. We have no idea about how it goes, though, for those Greeks. Nor what they really see or what they hear when they come to Jesus, but it can't be what they expected. They came to see a wonder worker, a prophet, mighty indeed. But what they saw and what they heard was a man who had hit bottom, talking about his death and praying to God. John says the whole crowd heard thunder. But Jesus heard a voice reassuring him and promising that he would draw all people to himself. It was a promise that his life wasn't in vain. This world is still waiting to see Jesus. But what this world gets is you and me. A people sometimes in a big hurry, bumping into things and ignoring the messes we make and the trouble we might cause others. I want to see Jesus too, but all I see is you. And the truth is, most of the time that's enough, because in your brokenness and weaknesses, and even in your sinfulness, there is a suffering that reminds me of that man on the cross. I'd assume, since you're sitting in this church, that you want to see Jesus too. And sometimes I'm troubled and humbled by the idea that all you get is me. Or those people sitting beside you. We're a broken people who face things from time to time we would rather not face and cry out, "Save me from this," only to discover that we can and always do make it through, because there's always that promise here, a promise that the Father is going to honor those who serve. That crowd thought an angel was speaking to Jesus. We know it to be the voice of God, who speaks to us again and again through these holy words of sacred scripture. The message is clear and simple for those who want to see Jesus. Look for one who serves others. Look for one who's obedient to the will of the Father. Look for one who serves and sacrifices for others. And when we begin to look like that, others are going to begin to see Jesus.